Well, good morning to all of you. Again, for the third time, I think, this morning, and you'll probably get one more before the day's over. Welcome to everybody, especially our visitors. And I think if you look at our attendance board over there, you see we've had a lot of sickness, a lot of people gone, and a much larger crowd today than we had last week. And it's good to see all of you here. We are finally continuing our series of lessons on the Ten Commandments this morning. This will be word 9, or the ninth commandment. And Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16 says, "You shall not give false witness or testimony against your neighbor." There was an article in the New York Times, the New York Times paper in 1996, and the headline said, "What a tangled web we weave when we all practice to deceive." And that was at the beginning of a survey that they took on the subject of lying. And 91% of those who responded confessed that they regularly do not tell the truth. It's not that they occasionally do, but that they regularly do not tell the truth. And 20% said they cannot get through a day without lying. Wow. So it appears that we've moved away from the days when the phrase, "a man's word is his bond." That's no longer the case. In fact, we kind of more or less expect people to lie, to fabricate, to stretch, to concoct, to misrepresent, to exaggerate, to equivocate, and to color the truth. And I suppose when you think of various careers like politicians, lawyers, lobbyists, salesmen, journalists, talk show hosts, just about anybody in the public view, we kind of expect that if it's going to serve their purpose, they're going to not tell us the truth. I know that it's a fable, the George Washington story and the cherry tree, but it was a fable built on the premise that you always tell the truth. Honest Abe Lincoln, there's just not any of those people left. Doug Mushrow wrote an article entitled 19 Great American Lies. Here's a sampling. Here's my top 6 out of the list of 19. Number 1, the check is in the mail. We service what we sell. Money cheerfully refunded. One size fits all. Your table will be ready in a few minutes. And last, and certainly applicable to this group, I'm from the federal government and I'm here to help you. He said in that article that we've moved to a society where lying is justified and even sometimes encouraged. People say it expresses our individuality. It's a part of free speech. It's a part of entertainment. The listener or viewer is responsible for filtering out what's true and what's a lie. It's a part of the free enterprise system. We have to exaggerate in an aggressive market. I find that with contractors a lot. Oh, sure, I can have that done for you in a couple of weeks. When they may not even get started for it in a couple of weeks. And all of those are excuses and reasons that we give and have been given for the world we live in. The positive side of this command is that we should tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So in our lesson this morning, I want to look at the sin of lying. I want to look at the power of truth, obviously. I want to look at what God said about lying. I want to show you why it's so bad and what lying indicates about us. I want to talk about who we lie to and some ways in which we lie. And what are some things that we can do to prevent lying? Really are delighted that each of you are here for your study this morning, and we're not just saying that, it's the truth. So what has God said about lying? There are very few subjects in the Scriptures that are more clearly laid out for us than this one, and that's in Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 16 that we just read. And the context here in the Ten Commandments is aimed at the idea of perjury. of bearing false witness, you're in a court of law or you're in some sort of situation and you're not to bear false testimony against your neighbor. In fact, still in courts, we swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But unfortunately, in our country, there are very few perjury charges or cases that are filed because it's so rampant. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 5, it says, "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who pours out lies will not go free." Apparently that is not so true in our society anymore, but we need to understand that even though we may escape judgment here in this life and consequences for our lives here in this life, there is a higher court that none of us will escape. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verses, or excuse me, 19 and verses 15 to 21. It says, "One witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense he may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If a malicious witness takes the stand to accuse a man of a crime, the two men involved in the dispute must stand in the presence of the Lord before the priests and the judges who are in office at the time. The judges must make a thorough investigation, and if the witness proves to be a liar, giving false testimony against his brother, then do to him as he intended to do to his brother. You must purge the evil from among you. The rest of the people will hear of this and be afraid, and never again will such an evil thing be done among you. Show no pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot." So the punishment for lying in court in this particular case could be very severe. In fact, if your lie was intended to bring about the death of the person you're testifying against, then it could very well result in your own death. Canada, in their tort system, their judgment system of bringing suits and other kinds of things, the losing party, if you bring someone to court, you're charging them with something, and you ultimately lose, you will be paying the court costs for the person that you sue. Consequently, frivolous lawsuits in Canada are very few. And it's the same principle as they have here in Deuteronomy. If you bring a false testimony, then what you sought to do to the person will be done to you. I think that's a good idea. Proverbs chapter 6, again, back in Proverbs, this time in verses 16 through 19, and I'm really more interested in the last three verses there, but I will, or a couple of verses there, but let's read the whole thing as soon as I find it in my own Bible. Proverbs chapter 6, and let's read verses 16 through 19. "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers." So there's seven things that God hates, seven things that are an abomination to him. It's very interesting to me that lying, or its cousin, comes up twice in this. Almost 30% of the things that God hates have to do with a lying tongue or bearing false witness. And that's astounding to us. God hates lying. And he clearly condemns it in his word. And maybe it'd be good for me to define for us at this point what lying is. Lying is the deliberate and intentional attempt to deceive someone. That's how God sees lying. It's the deliberate and intentional attempt to deceive another. Listen, I may speak a falsehood thinking it's the truth. That's not lying. If I'm honestly mistaken, I'm not accused of lying. I'm accused of being wrong. I can also tell a falsehood, but with good humor. Robin may want to ask me a question about some gift that I have purchased for her, and I don't want her to know about. And so I give her misinformation.
But my intention is not to deceive her or hurt her, or bring about something to my own benefit. That's not lying according to God. I don't have an evil intent, let's put it that way, in doing that.
So then why is lying so bad? Because listen, it's just words. It's just words that I'm speaking. Well, there are a number of things that lying does. Number one, it destroys trust. Trust is the glue that holds relationships together. In fact, trust is the glue that holds society together. And a husband who tells his wife that he's working late while he's out playing with his buddies, when he tells that lie, he not only is destroying his soul, he's also in the process of destroying his marriage and the intimacy that's involved in that marriage because it's built on trust. If you cannot trust others, then relationships on any level, doesn't matter what it is, are destroyed. Whether we're talking about being citizens in the country, we're talking about being members of a family, we're talking about being friends with someone else, we're talking about being members of the church, it does not matter. When lies enter into that relationship, it's destroying the relationship. It also perverts justice. Because when a person lies, something that was right has been taken away. Someone is always hurt when a lie is told. Someone always loses something that's being taken from them when you tell a lie. And obviously, lies can kill. Genesis, the third chapter, the lie of Satan to Eve, you surely will not die. That was a lie. And it ended up causing their spiritual death. Hitler said, if a broad mass of a nation will more easily fall victim to a big lie than a small one. So Hitler's modus operandi was, if you're going to tell a lie, tell a whopper. Because they'll more likely believe that than some small lie. And what he went about doing in his political agenda was to lie to the German people and tell them that the Jewish people were the ones to blame for their loss of World War I. They were the cause of their economic woes. It was all on the Jewish race among the Germans that caused their economic and social woes. And so here you have one of the most sophisticated and advanced societies in Europe at the time, and they entered into a program of ethnic cleansing based on a huge lie. Lying also indicates something about us. If you look at Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35, Jesus makes a statement there. He said, You brood of vipers, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings forth good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Lying is not just a bad habit. Yes, and I understand it can be habitual, but that's not all that it is. Lying says something about our heart. And that's what Jesus is saying here. It is a heart that harbors deceit. It is a heart that doesn't have godliness in it if it's lying. Again, back in Proverbs chapter 4 this time. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Wise men said, above all else, you're very familiar with verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. The context of guarding our hearts and making sure that it's the wellspring of life, the context immediately is the lie. Don't allow evil things to come out of your mouth. We often sometimes will try to excuse our lie as being a slip of the tongue. Whatever comes out of our mouth is a slip of the tongue. And what God says, no, it's a slip of the heart. Something that was in your heart was already there, got out via your tongue. And listen, that's why the tongue is so hard to tame, because it will let out what's inside of you And that's a battle that we've been losing since the Garden of Eden. So who is it that we lie to? And secondly with that, how do we do it? And there's always more than one person involved in lying. And for us specifically, the first person that's going to be involved is somebody who's our neighbor, some person that's near us, those that are around us. And there's several ways in which we can do that. We can just tell them a lie. We can just pop out some falsehood, something about us, or I didn't do it, or et cetera, et cetera. The more slippery kind of a lie is flattery. And flattery is a means that people use to steal money, to steal affection, to steal favors, to steal a relationship. And the weapon that's being used here is false words. Words that are not true, words that we don't believe, but we know that the person wants to hear. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 5, whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. Trying to trap them. You're trying to get something from them. Trying to hurt them in some way. Help yourself. We can also lie by insinuation, which is kind of a no-risk kind of a lie. We just kind of put some statements out there and try to lead the person, into the falsehood. Just insinuate and the damage is done. And Satan did that in Genesis, the third chapter. Did God say that you'll surely die? You know, he doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to become like him. And in Job, the first chapter, Job actually talking to God. Was this Job serve you for nothing? Of course he's going to be faithful to you. But what he's done different. Insinuation. Hypocrisy is a form of lying to those around us. We're putting on an act. We're acting like someone that we are not. We're trying to deceive them as to our character and who we are. In Matthew 23 and verses 27 and 28, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. There's a lot of that around us. There's a lot of that kind of lying going on around us to our neighbors. You can also lie to God. I think in hypocrisy we are seeing an attempt by people to lie to God, to try to put on a show for Him. But obviously God is truth, and His very nature is opposed to deception. In fact, in Hebrews the 6th chapter, verse 18, talking about God's oath and all of that, there's that little phrase in there that it's impossible for God to lie. His displeasure at lying, and specifically lying to Him, is very clearly illustrated in Ananias and Sapphira there in Acts the 5th chapter, when they were giving a portion of their the property that they had sold, giving the proceeds of that, but purporting it to be the total amount of the sale. And Peter said, you haven't lied to men, you've lied to God, and they both lost their lives because of that. Can you imagine somebody trying to lie to God? Doesn't it seem foolish to even try to do that? But listen, any time someone wants the benefits of the gospel without learning to bear the cross, that's hypocrisy. When we give less than we've prospered, that expression, give according to what we've prospered. When we give less, and I don't care if you're talking about money, if you've been prospered in money, if you've been prospered with time, you've been prospered with talents, and you give God less, purporting it to be all that you can do, then you're lying to God, not lying to us. The last person that we lie to is ourselves. lies like I can stop and eat anytime I want to. I don't have a problem. I don't go to church, and I've never felt closer to God. I've heard that a number of times. John, in his first epistle in 1 John chapter 1, talks about the fact in verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. There's lying to ourselves. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. But there's another way that I wanted to point out here in which we fellowship with lying, and that is when we support the lie of someone else. When you hear hear some gossip, or you hear a rumor about someone, and you share that, you pass it along, and repeat it, you're supporting the lie of that person. When you purchase tabloids at the grocery store, and you know what they are because I get a lot of entertainment looking at what the stupidity that's on the front covers of those as I'm waiting to buy my groceries, but I would never buy one, and the reason I would never buy one is because that would be supporting people who are in the business of telling lies. It would be giving them monetary benefit. Anytime you watch trash TV, you see, I was thinking, it's not as popular as it used to be. I can't even remember the one guy's name. And they have these people come on, and before long they're screaming and yelling at each other and accusing each other. They got bouncers in there to pull them apart. And it's just a big show of lie and tell. And if you watch that, then the ratings for them go up, and they get more money and get more ads. And so I don't watch it. Romans, the first chapter in verse 32, when you have that whole list of sins that the Gentiles fell into, right at the end of that whole list, in verse 32, Paul said, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do those very things, but also approve those who practice. So when we approve of people, tacitly or otherwise, of their lies, then we are in support of them and obviously guilty of that. Listen, lying is an abomination to God. It's an abomination. So easy to do. But God hates it because it's just the opposite of His nature. He is truth. It ought to be an abomination to us. So, looking at the brighter side of this, how can we become a truth-speaking people? Number one, let the Lord rule in your heart in every situation. Give Him opportunities to impact you and impact those around you and to influence your life. Be accountable. Pay close attention to your heart in all things. Guard your heart, as Solomon said in Proverbs. Watch everything that's going on around you and be aware of that. And ask yourself, how honest was I today? How truthful was I? And realize that in doing that, in being honest, and I'll be upfront with you because we preach the whole counsel of God here, sometimes being honest is going to cause you to suffer. But there's always going to be eternal benefits. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that we're not in heaven now. And so we're going to be in an environment where we're susceptible and being tempted to be involved in telling untruths, of deceiving or lying. And we need to realize that now is the time to pay the price for honesty so that we can get the reward that God has promised us. I don't know how many of you remember this. A few years ago, there was some rampant cheating going on in Annapolis at the Naval Academy. The saying that was among the students there was, lie till you die. There was one student named Brian Perko, and he refused to lie. And he was thrown out of the academy for admitting his role in it. And he told the board, whatever it was that was deciding his his faith that no matter their decision, he said, I will feel better from this moment on knowing I told the truth. He lost his education. He lost his commission. But he got his soul. Pretty good investment for the rest of his life. I realize that employers who tell the truth about former employees can be sued. That when they put you down for a reference, if you tell them to tell the next employer the truth, this person's a lousy worker, could never get anything out of them, you can be sued for libel for that. We can't teach our kids that honesty removes all consequences. We can't tell them, if you tell the truth, it'll always be good. That's not true. But we can teach them that telling a lie is more severe. It's worse. Secondly, we need to feed our mind a healthy diet, which part of which is that you don't listen to and you don't speak lies. Don't let them into your heart. In fact, develop an intense love for the truth in everything and hate every false way, just as our Father does. Psalm 26 and verses 3 through 5. For your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. Listen to this. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. Why? Because I don't want to be around them. I don't want to be influenced by them. I don't want to become numb to the fact that I need to be truthful. The opening of Philippians, the fourth chapter, in verse 8, when he's telling them, okay, here's what you need to think about. Here's what's important. And the first one is, whatsoever things are true. Think on that. And also consider the fact, you need to speak only good things. A lot of lying, in fact, I would guess most lying is done to hide something evil. To hide something that we did that was wrong, that we've engaged in. And in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and at verse 29, Paul, we've been in Ephesians a lot this morning, right? And during our services as well. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who hear. Listen, if you always do things that are right, you'll never have anything to hide. You'll never have anything to try to cover up. And finally, consider who you are reflecting. Consider who you're reflecting when you tell the truth, or its opposite, when you lie. In John, the 8th chapter, and in verse 44, Jesus had some pretty harsh words for the Jews. He said, you belong to your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when you lie, that's who you look like. You look like the one who is, in your reflecting, the father of lies. And if you want to reflect God, then in Psalm 31, I want to take the time to go back there and read that, Psalm 31 and verse 5. Into your hands, this is words that Jesus quoted on the cross, in your hands I commit my spirit, redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. So which one do you want to reflect in your life? It's imperative that we begin to teach and train our children to be truthful, and that we begin to do that early on. Listen, they're going to be bombarded with lies and temptations to lie later in life. And without that firm foundation, they will succumb. Remember a few weeks ago, I told you, I think it was Atticus. You know, I asked somebody, one of the kids, they were having both there. And I said, which one of you did that? And Atticus said, I did it.
How refreshing. He just told the truth.
When we lie to get out of some sort of situation in our own lives, and our children see that, we're giving them an example.
Well, then on some occasions, it's okay to bend the truth or tell a lie. It's a bad example.
And listen, I realize that kids make up stories. I understand that they oftentimes blur the distinction between fantasy and reality. But as they get older, I don't know what age that is, 5, 6, 7 years of age, the instances of those need to become opportunities to teach them about the importance of truthfulness and the importance of honesty. Truth has to be the standard in all of our lives. And that's all that the ninth commandment is about. Is that we have truth as the standard. It's going to be the standard in our home. We're just always going to tell the truth. That's going to be something that our kids and our grandkids and that in our home, whatever home you're in there, that truth is going to be told. And in fact, in every relationship, whether it's here in the congregation, whether it's on our jobs, whether it's at the supermarket, whether it's at school, everywhere, we're just going to be telling truth. And so it is not without significance that it was a lie that started man down the path to destruction. It is also not without significance that Jesus said in John 8, chapter verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So we just ask one question at the end here, and that is, have you been honest with yourself about where you stand before God and where you stand in your situation of salvation? It's not helping you. It doesn't help me to lie to myself about what my relationship with God is. I need Him. He's there for me. He's provided, as we just memorialized, the sacrifice of His Son to pay for the sin, including lying. I think I'm going to do a whole sermon on this. But I'll tell you what you need to do when you're tempted to lie is bring to mind a scripture that says that lying is an abomination to God and quote it to yourself. Use Jesus' example. Use Jesus' example of obedience, of rendering obedience to Him. And if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if that's in your heart, which means that you believe that He lived and He died and He was raised again, and He died for your sins, and that He's coming back, and He wants to be able to take you back with Him, then change your mind about the way you're living. And especially as it pertains to this morning, and that is the whole concept of lying. Repent of that. Confess the truth that He is the Son of God. Be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. And He'll make you a brand new creature. Amazing. But He'll do that. You will stand at the judgment seat. And you will have to give an answer. And the song we're about to sing, ask the question, what will your answer be? You get to choose what that will be. You can choose right now while we stand and sing. Someday you'll stand up.